Welcome to The Yadasha Show, District 29's favorite podcast. Stick around, this is
God's country. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to The Yadasha Show. My name is Ann Johnston Brown, and I'm your host today. And of course, as always, we have Yadasha Williams on the line. Hey, Yadasha, how you doing?
I am doing great. How is everybody doing today?
I hope they're doing well. I know I am. It's a beautiful day. And we are going to get started with a question, of course, as always, before we bring on our very important guest. So here's the question, Yadasha. What are the broader implications of Jewish students being advised to stay home and attend classes online at Columbia University during periods of heightened attacks from pro-Palestinians? What actions do you believe should be taken to ensure their safety and right to education?
I've seen this a little bit online, and it's very heartbreaking, whether it's in Nevada or outside of Nevada, because if it's in another state, that means it's coming here to Nevada soon if we already do not see it on the news.
Right.
In that situation with Jewish students being advised to stay home for their safety is deeply troubling and is completely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. In America, every individual, regardless of their heritage or religious belief, should feel free and safe to attend school without fear or violence or persecution. We need to stand strong and take care of the people that are Americans in this nation. We cannot stand by while members of our community live in fear. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. And there is absolutely no room for hate based on someone else's heritage, religion, or personal belief.
Don't you think, though, that the reverse would not be the same, though? If there were Jewish people that were on Columbia University's campuses protesting Palestinians, Islamic people, any other religion or origin, they would not tell those people to stay home. They would probably expel the Jewish protesters.
Exactly. Yeah. And this is a huge issue. We need a bill that not only prevents attacks on all Americans, but also provides clear and strong consequences for hate based on violence.
I want to suggest that there may already be laws that actually protect.
And it needs to be enforced.
There you go. And so that's the problem. We have a constitution and we have laws in states, and even the rules at these universities prevent this from happening. But it's being allowed because of ideology. It's all about ideology.
It should not be. That's the problem. Our laws are not being enforced and they need to be enforced.
There you go. Congressional candidate Drew Johnson is running to represent District 3 in Nevada, and he joins us today. Drew is a well-known government waste expert and author who has exposed hundreds of billions of dollars in waste, fraud, and abuse of taxpayers' money. He has appeared on such programs as Fox News, the BBC, NPR, CNN, and many others. And he's with us today. Welcome to the show, Drew, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Yadasha, I think you've got some questions for Drew, so take it away.
Yes, so thank you once again, Drew, for being on. We really appreciate it. And we were just talking about how the Jews have been asked to stay home at the colleges due to what's going on in the communities to protect them. They've paid $80,000 a year just about to get a proper education. And they're being asked to do school online and not come into schools for their protection. How do you feel about that?
Obviously, it's disgusting what's happened, not only at Columbia University, but across America, that a religious organization is being persecuted. It's so un-American. I want to say, first of all, I support the First Amendment. Anybody's right to protest, to say anything they want, you know, no matter how vile. I may not agree with it, but you've got a right to say it.
Right.
The problem here is that we're attacking a protected group, frankly, a group that has been through so much, in the last 100 years and frankly, through the last 3,000 years. And they're being prohibited, being blocked from attending classes that they pay for, as you rightfully said. And I think the biggest problem is that we don't have leaders on campuses across America, not just Columbia, with enough backbone to say, hey, we've got to treat everybody equally under the law. We've got to let anybody who is rightfully admitted to this university and paid to be here attend this university.
Absolutely.
And that's the biggest problem, is a failure at the university level. This isn't a government issue as much as it is bad leadership by these universities.
Yes, and we were just talking about how they're not enforcing the law, because this is downright just a hate crime.
There's no doubt about it. And one thing that's interesting about this congressional area, so this is the area, if you were to look at a map, is basically everything from Lone Mountain down to the California border that's west of the 95, west of the 15. It goes in the Laughlin, a little bit of Henderson at the Silverado Ranch area. But this is actually the most Jewish district in America between Denver and California, and one of the 10 most Jewish districts in America. So it's particularly important to me, because around the lakes in particular, there's a large Jewish community, and making sure that that community doesn't face hate crimes and live under threat is a very serious concern of mine, and something I'll make sure that we avoid. I want to make sure that people of the Jewish faith are protected here in Southern Nevada.
That's wonderful. Thank you for that. Now, one of the biggest topics that I keep hearing that everybody is talking about is education. When it comes to education, it is the nation's future. What policies will you advocate for us to ensure every child has access to quality education?
Yeah, I guess I can answer that best by telling a little story, if you don't mind. So I grew up in a trailer in rural Appalachia. So think about, Dolly Parton, kind of where she's from. And my mom worked two jobs. God bless her. She's a real hustler. She worked at Walmart during the day. She was a maid at night. And we lived in a terrible school district, a terrible rural school district. So it's a little bit different than here. But my grandmother lived in a pretty good school district. And so my mom actually drove us about 40 minutes each way so that we could go catch the bus at my grandmother's house. And we lied and said that we lived at my grandmother's house. And my mom could have actually, she could have been fine. She could have actually been thrown in jail for a few days for lying about our address. And she did that so that I could have a chance and my little sister could have a chance at getting a good education. And, I'm basically the son of a maid who was able to, go on to grad school and start this really successful nonprofit. And that wouldn't have happened if I didn't have a mom who created school choice for me. So at the federal level, the Constitution doesn't say anything about education. The federal government isn't supposed to have a lot to do with education, except for, ensuring that there's equality and protections for students with disabilities and things like that. But the one thing that I think we all have to do, if I'm fortunate enough to be elected and have the soapbox being a member of Congress, is to fight to make sure that every child has the opportunity to go to a school that serves their needs, where they can get the education best suited for them. And when I was in, I actually lived in Tennessee, 15 years ago, started a nonprofit there, where we were able to get school choice for low-income and minority kids. And that's the greatest accomplishment I'll ever have in my life. Tens of thousands of kids were able to go to good schools because of something I helped work on. So it's a passion of mine, and parental rights and making sure every kid can get a good education, no matter what their zip code is or how much money their parents have, is crucial.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you. And your mom sounds like a powerhouse.
She's awesome. I'm obviously, I didn't necessarily have the blessings of money growing up, but I had the blessings of a mom who, was strong and kind of knew what's up and would do what's best for us.
Right. Now, as far as immigration reform, we know that's a complex issue. What approach will you take to address immigration policy while balancing out security and compassion for the community and the people involved?
Yeah, I think the people I'm most compassionate about are here in the third district. A third of the people are first or second generation legal immigrants. So people who came from all over the world and did it the right way, you know, jumped through the hoops, waited their turn, paid the money, all that to come here legally and ultimately become citizens in many cases. And I want to fight for them because, you know, obviously with the border, we've got issues with terrorism, with sex trafficking, with fentanyl and drug trafficking and cartels and all these things we've got to stop. But the thing that bothers me the most is the gross injustice of seeing people walk across the border when I've got neighbors who waited 8 years or who won a lottery from their country. And I've got a neighbor across the street who won a lottery to come here from Albania. And now you have people who can just walk across the street or walk across the river, rather. It's just infuriating. So we've got to close the border. I believe that we need to build the wall or have some sort of technology that basically creates a secure border. And we need to make it easy for people to immigrate who want to come here legally, who are willing to do a background search, have a background check done on them. And
we have to protect
and contribute
the Americans
to
here that actually work hard in blood, sweat, and tears to be here.
That's right. Exactly. Well said.
Now, Drew, finally, what specific actions will you take to increase transparency and accountability in the government? And how will you engage with the constituents to ensure their voices are heard in Congress?
Yeah, I think it's funny, you know, when somebody runs for Congress, you always hear, I'm going to do this about, you know, healthcare or spending or taxes or whatever. But the most important thing a member of Congress can do is constituent services. And that's one thing my opponent, Susie Lee, is failing on. She's not as good as she used to be on veterans care. When somebody calls with a problem with the VA, she doesn't respond as well as she did when she was first elected. When people call about getting their kid into, a service university, you know, Air Force Academy or the Naval Academy, something like that. She's not always there for them when they've got problems with their Social Security or their disability insurance. She's not there. I'll be there. I mean, that's the number one job of a member of Congress. And then the other thing is, as far as transparency, as you guys mentioned when you introduced me, I think the thing I'm known for most is being a government watchdog. And I've been able to save taxpayers $60 billion by uncovering wasteful spending, working with members of Congress to eliminate that. And that's what we need right now with the debt that we have and the inflation we have is somebody who knows how to look at the budget, find the waste, cut the pork, and save taxpayers' money.
I love it. Thank you.
All right, guys, I think we've come to the end of our time, but wow, what an enormous amount of information we just got. Drew, you are fantastic, and we really appreciate not only what you've done as a watchdog, but also what you intend to do. We love that. I think your motto should be, I'll be there.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. Anybody who wants to learn more about me, check me out at drewfornevada.com or on social at drewfornevada. But thank you both so much for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, Drew. And by the way, everyone, we want you to join Yadasha and a host of other fellow conservative candidates for an exciting town hall meeting on Wednesday, May 22nd from 6 to 7:30 at Joe's Place on Gibson Road in Henderson. For more information and to RSVP, go to her website, williams4nv.com. And we will see you there. Thanks again, everybody. And thank you, Yadasha and Drew. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.